is University Forum. I'm Jean Moore, bringing you conversations with outstanding personalities on issues of interest to local, national, and international communities. Our topic today, the profession of social work. My guest by telephone to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, Ms. Rebecca Myers, LSW, licensed social worker, executive director of the Pennsylvania chapter of the National Association of Social Workers. Welcome, Ms. Myers. Thank you for coming to be the guest on this program.
Thank you, Jean, for inviting me. I appreciate being here.
I know you're busy. It's a very busy job that you have there. And I hope we have a chance to discuss this important profession and to share information not only about the national, but also the Pennsylvania chapter, which is the area that you concentrate on as executive director. You know, the term social worker is in such wide use. What is the profession of social work, and how can we clarify the differences that sometimes come about in the press?
Right. Well, in general, social workers help people help themselves whenever they need it. But we also believe to be a professional social work, you need some special training and experience and education. And so around the country, social work programs are available both in bachelor's level and master's level, and there are, of course, PhD programs too. But the bachelor's and the master's programs, the content of that and the education of that is overseen by the Council on Social Work Education. So typically what we would say is that a professional social worker is a person that has a bachelor's or master's degree from one of these schools accredited by the Council on Social Work Education. And again, that's because, you know, with a nurse or a doctor or, you know, a lawyer, you want that special expertise. Many of us might understand a lot about the law, and there are certainly clerks and that kind of thing. But, you know, if you really want to go into court, you probably want an attorney. So if you really need help in areas of your life, in the healthcare arena, especially mental health care arena, you want a social worker who's had that training to help you through that.
Is there some reason why people at large are just able to use the term social worker for anybody who appears to be doing something of a helping nature because they want to help?
I'm not sure. It is very puzzling to us, but I think in reality there is a shortage of social workers, and in many areas, like in the child welfare area and in some of the public arenas. And so they need somebody in there to help. So they try to pull somebody with a different degree to help. And some of those people are very good. But the social work profession, as social workers, we have a particular worldview and way of looking at the world that makes how we approach things and how we do our work different. And that worldview is that we try to look at everything that impacts on a person. We're looking really at the whole picture of the person. And then we work with the individual on, you know, to what's going to work best for them. For instance, you could have two people with a bipolar disorder as a mental illness. But in social work, you'd look at all the factors affecting that. One person might have bipolar and may have very little family support or very little friends and may have no source of income. Well, the kind of support and help and things that they have to draw on are going to be different than someone with the same illness who has a very strong support system around them. And that's what in social work we do. We look at the whole picture, and we're usually very good at linking people with the resources that they need. Like, you know, if somebody doesn't really have housing, we might help them find that housing. If somebody needs to have more of a social avenue, you know, we might support them to do that. So, but we really look at the whole picture rather than maybe just a very little piece of it.
Not only do you have access to all of those other opportunities, but people who are in other roles without the formal training, sometimes they can get recruited into training more formally through the schools, can they not?
Yes, and there are many programs that try to work with people who are interested in helping out and becoming social workers. There's some programs in the child welfare arena where a college education in social work would be paid for and subsidized.
We might want to add there are some other dimensions to social work besides the one-on-one with families. Isn't there a role that some of the social workers have taken in the political arena, or is it using social work skills to get political action done?
Right. That's the other thing I think is very unique about social work. We not only say that part of our job is to work with individuals and families and communities, but it's also to change systems. And that's, you know, we talk about this, looking at the systems, and that's what I mean, looking at the whole picture. We'll look at a whole picture and we'll say, seems like everybody coming to me is having problems finding affordable housing. Maybe we need to address the issue of affordable housing, and then people won't need so many, you know, won't be coming to our agency so much. So in social work, we really focus on what is going on in the larger picture here, and maybe we need to change that, and that will help people best of all. So we do get involved with lobbying, with what you would call social policy. We've been very instrumental in things like Social Security, you know, getting that started, and civil rights. And so, again, because we look at the big picture often, we see where maybe government policies or rules or regulations need to change, and then we work to change those. And so some social workers run for office. Allison Schwartz, who's now representative to Congress, former senator from Pennsylvania, is a social worker. And there are a number of social workers both in the House and Senate in the U.S. Congress.
Let's talk a little bit about what the National Association of Social Workers does, because as a construct, it is designed on a national basis. Now, you're with the Pennsylvania chapter, but there are other chapters around the country, aren't there? How is it structured?
Right. The association, again, is the Professional Association for Social Workers, people with social work degrees at the bachelor's and master's or doctoral level. And there are 56 chapters. There's one in every state, plus New York City, Washington, D.C., Guam, Virgin Islands, Puerto Rico. There's an international chapter which services social workers who often are working on military bases in different parts of the world. So we have these local units, these chapters, and then also even in Pennsylvania, we're divided further into 10 regions, which we call divisions. And it's a way for those of us who are social workers to have a national presence and connect with each other nationally as well as statewide and locally. And at the state and national levels, we'll often get involved with what's going on in government policies and do some lobbying or, you know, support politicians who support our views or, you know, who we need to be able to speak with. And we also try to keep up on what's the best practice within the profession, what's happening in the world or in the country or in the state that affects us, and what are some of the best things, the best work that's been able to occur with people. And we try to get information out both to the public as well as support each other as professionals. We also have a code of ethics that's developed, and that when you are a member of the association, you agree to abide and practice by that code of ethics. And then if people or even colleagues feel that you have violated part of that code of ethics, there is a process where your peers will take a look at your actions and determine whether that has occurred or not.
Now, the National Association, does it have a link to the accreditation or to the licensure process that is actually a part of the state itself, at least in Pennsylvania? Is that not so?
Right. There's two different things here. Accreditation is different from licensure. So many professional associations will adopt various credentials, and that means that you've met the standards set by that association. So in Pennsylvania, you might see different letters behind social workers' names. You might see a board-certified diplomate. You might see an ACSW. You might see a QCSW. Those are credentials that professional associations have offered and have said, you know, you meet our standards in this particular area of your work. A license is a permit issued by the government. And in Pennsylvania, social workers can be licensed. They are not required to be licensed in Pennsylvania, but they can choose to be licensed. And in Pennsylvania, we have what's called an LSW and an LCSW. And there are certain standards set up for each license, and anybody who has those letters after their name, an LSW or an LCSW, says that they've met those standards set by the state. Now, the state's goal is to protect the public. That's why they get involved in licensing, is to protect the public. And so while NASW, while we go to the state licensure board meetings when they meet and we try to keep up on things that are occurring, there's a certain amount of distance that we maintain because the licensing body really needs to police the profession. And while we want to, quote, police the profession, we have a different role as the professional organization. So the, you know, licensure board does its work under state law, which was passed by the legislature.
And the LSW stands for?
Licensed social worker. And the LCSW stands for licensed clinical social worker.
It's interesting how various professions have licensing and also require a certain continuity of training. In social work, isn't there a continuity process, CEUs as they're called?
The licensing board, again, sometimes through state law, not all the time, but the licensing board has set requirements for continuing education for social workers who want to maintain their license. And we have to get 30 hours of continuing education over a 2-year period. And these courses are offered by a variety of different places. There's private companies who offer them. NASW offers them. Sometimes colleges and universities offer them. You know, we are required to keep up with what's occurring in the field and in the practice of social work.
You're listening to University Forum with my guest by telephone to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, Ms. Rebecca Myers, licensed social worker, Executive Director of the Pennsylvania Chapter of the National Association of Social Workers. Let's talk now more specifically about what the chapter is doing. I know that you're excited about some things that are coming up and that a month is coming up that's dedicated to social work. Doesn't that take place every year that there is a 1 month that social workers use to concentrate and to make public some of the things that the association and individuals in social work actually do?
Yes. March is Social Work Month, and each year we have a theme. This year it's Help Starts Here, Life's Journey. So we're looking at social work practice in the field of aging. And so every year, you know, we do have this month that's set aside where we really focus on social workers and social work practice. In the Pennsylvania chapter, we have traditionally also held our statewide conference during this month. And so March 2nd to the 4th, we will be at the Radisson Valley Forge Hotel in King of Prussia for our annual conference. And we get 400 to 500 social workers and attendees at this major 2.5-day conference. There's all sorts of workshops that are provided, and we're excited. We're having two keynote speakers. Our theme this year is 2006, the next 50 years. That's because last year NASW celebrated our 50th anniversary, and we thought this year we'd take a little bit of a future look. And our keynote speakers are Dr. Mary O'Hara Devereaux and Dr. Cheryl Brissett Chapman. And Dr. O'Hara Devereaux is a futurist, and she's going to talk about trends. She's written a book about this and about, you know, what's occurring, what are some of the future trends that we can look for. And one of the interesting things is that it's not that things are set in stone. It's that we're going to be facing certain things, and depending on the decisions we make, that will lead us to the next decision in the next place. But I think it will be interesting to hear about what are some of the trends on the horizon. And then Cheryl Brissett Chapman is going to talk about social work practice in a marginal global society. We know that we're having to look further out to sort of consider more of a worldwide community. And Dr. Brissett Chapman was the award winner for NASW at the national level. She received a Lifetime Achievement Award, and she has worked with families and children for many years. So we're excited to have her come and share her experience and her thoughts about the future, too.
As you think back and as you contact so many different social workers around this state, what have you seen as some of the most important kinds of concerns that are being raised and where the work is actually concentrating right now, as well as where it may go in the future? What kinds of things are... There's been a lot of publicity. There have been a lot of things that have been put on the doorstep of social workers, particularly in the child welfare field. Mm-hmm. What have you seen there, and what do you think we can do about that?
Right. Child welfare is always very difficult and complex. One of the things, again, that's difficult in Pennsylvania is just finding enough trained social workers who would work in child welfare. And so the state puts a lot of money into training people who are in the child welfare field to provide supplemental training. We're doing some research that's trying to look at, if people have a social work degree, will they work longer in child welfare than somebody who doesn't have a social work degree? Will there be a different kind of outcome in that case if there is a trained social worker? And we're just taking a look at that to see if that might help resolve some of the issues in child welfare. But I think beyond that, it's so easy to get caught up in individual areas, whereas one of the things that we've taken on in the last number of years is looking at economic human rights. And we've been partnering with Kensington Welfare Rights Union and the Poor People's Economic Human Rights Campaign to take a look at this. Economic human rights have been defined by the United Nations in a covenant on economic, social, and cultural rights. And countries are supposed to be trying to move towards increasing people's economic human rights. And some of the things we focused on are that everybody has an economic human right to employment. Everybody has an economic human right to education. Everybody has an economic human right to housing. So the thing that does is just shift the conversation. If you look at how do we protect people's rights in those areas, you come up with some different kinds of thinking and way of approaching problems or challenges than if you say, well, how can we make child welfare work right? Or how can we make the welfare system work right? Because the issue is that, like, for instance, often in child welfare, what do you do when there's not enough affordable housing? What can you do? And there are families living in poverty who then get pulled into the child welfare system, even though poverty is not supposed to be a requirement to be in that system. There are instances where I'm sure if people had a more stable income and better housing, they would not probably be in the child welfare system. There's probably a certain percentage that would address. So if we can look at economic human rights and how we try to address those needs, we might be able to then resolve some of the other issues in some of these very succinct areas that we might pull out. One of the areas we're looking at, for instance, is just health care and how we provide universal health care for all, and what a difference that would make in so many other areas if people just knew they were going to have health care.
I guess I should, under full disclosure, tell our audience, those who do not know it, that I'm a social worker of long standing, as you know.
Right. Yeah.
And I think one of the concerns is something that you've just touched so directly, that there is so much in the system that affects whatever happens on other levels.
Mm-hmm.
And that this seems, especially when you talk about housing, I recall when we had a lot of people working in housing who were not social workers, but we were able to pull some of them into training to bring those skills and impact what mm-hmm. was happening in housing. How do you think we're going as far as not just on the national scene, but linking up with all of those international problems now that come about, Africa and other parts of the world? What can we do, and what are we doing at the local level as well as at the national level in those fields?
Right. There have been numerous exchanges between schools of social work and NASW and social workers in other parts of the world. And there is the International Federation of Social Workers, which meets on a regular basis and which NASW is a part of and participates in and hosts those meetings. There's also a social worker in the United Nations who looks at some of these issues. So those are places where we tie in to the rest of the world. I think locally in Pennsylvania, for instance, we're going to have some sessions at our workshops that deal with social workers who have visited some of the other parts of the world. And one of the places China. And China is quite an emerging economy and, continent and part of the world. I think there's just a lot happening with China that we need to be aware of. So we are addressing this with, like I said, social workers who have made trips to these parts of the world and just, trying to bring back and see where are things really the same around the world and where are things very different.
The association has sponsored some trips to various parts of the world, has it not?
Right. And I know what I try to do if I find out that social workers have been on some of these trips. We try to then interview them for our newsletter or encourage them to write articles for our newsletter about their experience and their visits so that we can keep people updated and informed. And some social service agencies are also starting to have agencies in other parts of the world. And so we've profiled them in our newsletter and about their experiences of setting up a social service agency in a different part of the world. It's true with, email and the internet and, inexpensive telecommunications that, we have to really look at things globally. We can't just look at them in a smaller scale. We need to make those connections between what's happening here. For instance, our economic human rights not only is a framework we can use here in Pennsylvania, it's a framework we can use nationally and internationally. And that's what we need to keep doing is making those connections.
You shared with me some information about a website. Would you talk about it?
Yes, NASW is very pleased that we are creating a consumer website for everybody to go and find out more about the social work profession and also find out how social workers can help you. We are in so many areas. Our skills are just used from corporations to, like you said, working with individuals. And the consumer website is helpstartshere.org. So that's helpstartshere.org. And you'll just find a wealth of information, again, in various areas like aging, if you need help with issues around aging or families, and also how to connect with social workers. Also on our national website, we have some free courses that people can take online on things such as end-of-life care. And I think there's just a new one on aging. And so there's some things there that would be of interest to the general public as well as to social work.
That website, I got that information from you and I went up on the website, and it really is beautifully done, beautifully put together with the links going to all different aspects of life that people might want to really pull that up and look at the information that's there. It's very well put together.
Right. One of the things that was found recently in some research is that while most people know about us as social workers, most people think they will never need a social worker. And, it's one of those things, I guess you hope maybe you never do need a social worker because it's meaning you're having to reach out and ask someone for help probably because you're going through a difficult place in your life. And we wanted to help people know that we're there in so many areas. Most hospitals have social workers. Nursing homes have social workers. Home health care has social workers. Hospice has social workers. Like I said, even corporations and foundations are sometimes run by social workers. So we want to help people understand the breadth of where we are and the ability and services that we can provide. Everything from, you're having a rough place in your life and you need to go see a therapist, to maybe you want a project done in the community, you know, and we're there to help with that.
I don't know how many interviews I've done when it's come up that somebody wants some help somewhere, and the person that they really don't know where to turn. And it's so helpful to know that there are sources that they can help, mm-hmm. and that can help them.
Right.
Yeah. As we get down towards the end of our programming, talk more now about what's at the conference, how people can register, what they need to do, where they need to go. What do they do to get into the conference? It's going to be held where?
It's going to be held at the Radisson Valley Forge Hotel in King of Prussia, which is the convention center there. It's March 2nd to the 4th. And information, including the entire program, is online at our website, which is nasw-pa.org. So that's nasw-pa.org. And people can also call our office if they'd like to request a program. That number is 800-272-6279. That's, again, is 800-272-6279. And the conference starts Thursday evening and will end Saturday about 5 or 5:30. And there are workshops all throughout Thursday evening, all day Friday, Friday evening, and during the day Saturday. We'll have an awards luncheon with our annual Social Worker of the Year and Lifetime Achievement and Public Citizen. That will be Friday at lunch. And Saturday, we're going to have our political action luncheon with a social worker named Mike Pettit, who is with a project that tries to help look at children's issues in campaigns. We're going to be having a presentation Thursday evening that was part of the PBS series on the Appalachians. One of our members was interviewed and part of that series, Dr. Wilburn Hayden. So he's going to be showing a synopsis of that series of the Appalachians and talking about his experience of working in Southwest Pennsylvania.
And let's remember now we're talking about March 2nd. That's the Thursday, is it not?
Yes.
March 2nd to March 4th of 2006, because that allows people, by the time when they hear this program, to put that on the calendar and then to get back to you. Well, I'm so glad that we've been able to talk about all these many things, and I think that certainly the life's journey, suggesting that life begins and you're working with youngsters from pre-birth, actually, prenatal care, where social workers are so needed to support potential mothers and families all the way through the aging process, and then on the systems that cause and are important to adjust in order to make some of these individual things take place. Is there anything else you want to add before we end?
No, just thank you again for allowing us to be on the program and to highlight social work. I think it's an absolutely wonderful profession. I'm very proud to be a social worker and enjoy the field very much and appreciate your taking this time.
And I'm absolutely just as proud to be a social worker and to have known you and to talk with you. Thank you so much for being my guest on University Forum.
You're welcome.
I'm Jean Moore, a member of the social work profession and your host and executive producer of University Forum. Please send your comments or questions on University Forum programs to me by email, jemoore@wrti.org, or call my voicemail, 215-204-4376.